past songs. And the concert closes with Brahms' Second Symphony. That's all from 2 o'clock this afternoon. Before it, in a couple of minutes, in fact, Proms Chamber Music, live from London's Cadogan Hall. The young Georgian pianist Khatia Boniatishvili playing music by Liszt and Prokofiev. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news, read by Vaughan Savage.
The Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg has condemned the disorder and looting in London last night as opportunistic violence. Police have labelled last night's trouble in several parts of the city as copycat criminal activity. 100 people were arrested and a number of police officers were injured. Scotland Yard has promised that more officers will be on the streets tonight to prevent any further trouble. The Home Secretary, Theresa May, is coming back early from her holiday to attend a meeting later this afternoon with the Acting Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police. Stock markets across Europe have fallen today, despite attempts to reassure traders nervous about the future of the euro. The European Central Bank has indicated that it will buy Italian and Spanish government bonds, helping to reduce borrowing costs in both countries. In London, the 100 index of leading shares is down nearly 2%. The Ministry of Defence is investigating claims that a British soldier kept severed fingers from dead Taliban fighters as souvenirs. It's understood the allegations have been made against a member of the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. Reports say the Syrian army is shelling the eastern city of Deir Azur for a second day. Residents say a woman and her two children were killed when security forces opened fire as the family were attempting to flee. The United Nations Refugee Agency is airlifting relief items for victims of the Somali famine into the capital Mogadishu. It is the UNHCR's first airlift into the city for 5 years. The spy and French resistance heroine, Nancy Wake, has died in London. She was 98. During the war, the Gestapo nicknamed her the White Mouse because of her ability to remain undetected. Nancy Wake coordinated resistance activity in the run-up to the Normandy landings and was said to have killed an SS sentry with her bare hands during a raid. The BBC television drama Wish Me Luck was based on her life. The weather. There'll be sunny spells and scattered showers across much of the country. It will feel rather cool for the time of year. The BBC News and Weather at 3 minutes past one. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. Now time for Proms Chamber Music, live from the Cadogan Hall in London. It's presented by Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Cadogan Hall. It's hard to believe we're almost halfway through this year's Proms season already. But for the fourth of our 8 Proms Chamber Music recitals, we have a real treat. Current Radio 3 New Generation artist Khatia Boniatishvili, playing works of virtuosity and atmosphere by 2 composer-pianists. We'll be hearing her in Prokofiev's Piano Sonata No. 7, which his closest friend called Superbly Wild. And in this Liszt anniversary year, 2 contrasting but equally demanding works by him, both of which feature on Khatia's new debut recital recording. She begins with Liszt's mighty Sonata in B minor, generally accepted as his greatest composition for the piano. In terms of musical form, it's 4 movements in one, owing a lot to a piece much loved and thoroughly analysed by Liszt, Schubert's Wanderer Fantasy. And many people have interpreted the sonata as a pianistic working out of the Faust legend, with themes representing deluded Faust, cunning Mephistopheles, and innocent Marguerite. When Khatia Boniatishvili began to immerse herself in Liszt's life and work, she said that, "In order not to evaporate in this space or be engulfed in chaos, I had to find that main axis around which the entire world of Liszt revolves. This axis is the Sonata in B minor, which unites in a single form great musical, emotional, and psychological riches." To play that sonata now, we welcome Khatia Boniatishvili.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Dearest Franz, the sonata is beautiful, grandiose, delightful, profound, and noble beyond compare. It is as sublime as you yourself are. So wrote Wagner when he first heard Liszt's piano sonata in B minor, played today at Cadogan Hall, live on BBC Radio 3 by Khatia Buniatishvili. Khatia's going to give us some more Liszt in a few moments, but first, here in my hand is a microphone because she's kindly agreed to talk to me on stage. Have your mic, Khatia.
Hello.
Can I ask you, I want to begin by quoting your own words. You've just recorded that extraordinary piece. I'm just getting my breath back now from listening to it. And about that recording, this is what you wrote. It's very interesting. I was always aware that my first recording had to be a portrait of Liszt. Only he would enable me to present as a unity the many different elements within my soul. Tell me, what is it about Liszt that you identify with?
First of all, I would say that first time when I played Liszt on stage, I was very young, I was 10 years old, and it was Tarantelle. I first felt that I really had physical pleasure while playing on stage, and first time I felt that I had chemistry with the stage. And it was through Liszt, and it was thanks to him, and I felt that this composer shows to others and shows to yourself the most beautiful qualities that you can have as a pianist. And secondly, as I wrote already there, it's about I was looking for a composer for my first CD who would somehow make something happen that harmonizes and makes united all the emotions that we can have as a pianist, as a musician, as a person. And he had this very unique capacity to somehow unite the most different emotions in a personality, and this was very harmonic because Schumann would do the same, for example, in his Eusebius and Florestan characters. They are very, very dissonant heroes, and they're against each other somehow, and it's quite extreme, and it goes to madness and so on. And Liszt could unify all of them without any.
This is a first on Radio 3. The microphone has accidentally been switched off. I think it may be back on again. No, Michael is coming on to give us another one. Let us wait, because what Khatia has to say is extremely interesting. Run, Michael, run.
Thank you. Yeah, and if it's too extreme and too crazy with Schumann, with Liszt, it's always very harmonic and very human and very generous. So that was the reason why.
Well, Liszt started life as a child prodigy, and I know that you too, you said that you first played Liszt on Tarantelle when you were 10. You were noted for extraordinary talent when you were just a child, but I also know that you're very resistant to this idea of infant prodigies, and you don't like the idea of virtuosity in pianism for its own sake. So what is the purpose of virtuoso playing for you?
No, virtuosity is something very important, I think, because through virtuosity you can make an interpretation. If you don't have enough virtuosity, it means that you cannot express with peace the idea that you want to express or the dramaturgy that you want to express. So this is just the way to go to the interpretation, but not the contrary. And what probably they want to do with Wunderkind style of life is that exactly to do the contrary. And children mostly, if they're kind of, used to play on the piano and to show to public that they are really very different from others, there's a danger that they will not have they will not develop their own personality, which everybody has, actually. So, I don't know, everybody has own tastes.
Well, I think your personality and your playing is developing absolutely beautifully. I'm sure everyone would agree. Khatia Buniatishvili, thank you very much for talking to us now. Next in this Proms Chamber Music recital, she offers us a look into a very different part of Liszt's soul as she plays the third and last of his Liebesträume, Dreams of Love. These nocturnes began life as songs, and the first two are recollections of erotic, morbid scenes. The third, though, is the ardent command, "Oh, love, love as long as you can." The piece stands alone as the Liebestraum, one of Liszt's most popular works, and it's played now by Khatia Buniatishvili. Katia Bunyatishvili played Liszt's Liebestraum. For the final work in this recital, she takes us from 19th century Germany to Soviet Russia at the start of the Second World War. Prokofiev, like Liszt, was a keyboard prodigy, and many of his early works have a brittle, almost bellicose brilliance. In 1939, he was basking, comparatively speaking, in the sunlight of Communist Party approval, and the only downside to that was the necessity to compose within the old-fashioned, simplistic aesthetic of the Stalin years. So when his friend, composer Nikolai Myaskovsky, described the Seventh Sonata as superbly wild, he was making a rather provocative comment. The sonata was completed in 1942, and the next year it won Prokofiev the Stalin Prize, second degree, a surprising achievement for a work that was sufficiently radical in style to be called questionable, and criticized for failing to be a genuine expression of national feeling during the terrible year 1942, a year scarred by the privations of the siege of Leningrad. To end her Proms chamber music recital, Katia Buniatishvili plays Prokofiev's Piano Sonata No. 7 in B-flat major.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chopin at his most plangent, his fourth prelude, played as a special extra treat at the end of this extraordinary recital by Khatia Bunyatishvili. She ended the official recital, of course, with Prokofiev's seventh piano sonata. She's not only, just to remind you, in her second year as a member of the BBC Radio 3 New Generation Artist Scheme, she's also been nominated by Vienna's Konzerthaus und Musikverein as a rising star for the coming season. Her Liszt CD... and one of Gedanken Hall's rising stars, obviously. Her Liszt CD is out now, and later this week she's off to give three recitals in France. Meanwhile, this recital, one for which the expression tour de force could have been invented, I think, will be repeated on Saturday afternoon on Radio 3, and you can catch it for the next 7 days via the Radio 3 website. Tonight at 7:30 p.m. in the Royal Albert Hall, music by Sibelius, Grieg and Nielsen, played by the Royal Stockholm Philharmonic Orchestra and a Finnish conductor, Sakari Oramo. I'll be back next Monday at 1 p.m. to introduce a programme of Britain and Bridge. But for now, a very good afternoon to you from me, Catherine Bott, as I hand back to Broadcasting House.
Catherine Bott there at London's Cadogan Hall. Well, for the rest of the week, our lunchtime concerts here on BBC Radio 3 all come from the East Nuke Festival in a picturesque corner of Fife. Tomorrow, the Eben String Quartet playing early Mozart and late Beethoven, the quartet in C-sharp minor, Opus 131. That's tomorrow here on Radio 3, just after the 1 o'clock news. And in fact, we're at the East Nuke Festival, last year's festival. Later on this afternoon, a performance by the Elias Quartet of the 14-year-old Schuberts, First String Quartet. That'll be at around 4 o'clock. As for this evening, well, we're back at the Royal Albert Hall.
A proms debut and a celebrated concerto. 22-year-old pianist Alice Sarah Ott comes to the proms tonight to fulfil a long-held ambition. She's performed all around the world with Sakari Oramo and the Royal Stockholm Philharmonic Orchestra, and now they bring their brand of music to London's Royal Albert Hall and BBC Radio 3. It's a great concerto in the hands of a young pianist who wins over audiences wherever she goes. Tonight at the BBC Proms from 7:30.
And to the Royal Albert Hall right now. Another chance to hear last Thursday night's prom. The presenter at the hall is Martin Handley.
Hello and welcome to the Royal Albert Hall for the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, ready to give the second in a pair of concerts with its chief conductor, Donald Runnicles. And if yesterday was French night, well, tonight we've two core works from the German repertoire. Richard Strauss looks both forward and back in his valedictory Four Last Songs, in which the soloist will be Hilary Martin Pelto. And as part of this prom season focus on Brahms, we hear his Second Symphony. It may be his most pastoral, but it still undertakes quite a journey from melancholy to exaltation. We begin, though, with the world premiere of a BBC commission. Concertos for orchestra are quite rare animals, but Robin Holloway's written five of them spread over the last 40 years. Many of his instrumental works bring music and words together beneath the surface, as it were. They also trace the path of allegories or travel in journeys of the mind. His fourth concerto for orchestra was a programme piece inspired by various aspects of the medieval Piers Plowman. So I asked Robin Holloway at rehearsal what the inspiration behind this fifth concerto was.
The new one has no narrative like that. There's no story at all. It's inspired rather loosely by colours. When I say loosely, I mean sensory, immediate impact of a colour as a sensuous experience, which can, of course, move into mood and feeling.
What's the title Concerto for Orchestra mean for you?
The Concerto for Orchestra is fancy-free. It can be a narrative, it can be a symbolic scheme, it can be a succession of mood pieces. But above all, it's free, it's flux, it's organic. And, of course, it is to show the orchestra off in its playing. There's got to be an element of display in it, which just wouldn't be called for in a symphony.
You mentioned earlier that colours were important in this piece. Can you take us through the five movements as they're going to be performed tonight?
Well, I think I'd better say that what we're going to hear tonight in the premiere is a change of order from my score, which has come about during rehearsal, in which I am in complete agreement. It doesn't mean that it's going to stay in this new order forever and ever, but I think it's a very good order. So we start with absolute saturation of black. Now, there, pretty obviously, a colour is relatable at once to a mood. Blackness is there psychological and physiological as well as just sensory. And it's followed then by a contrast of total lightness, buoyancy, bubble, delightful, sort of spring-like, rising of the sap, green. We get a very brief movement, which is sort of radiantly saturated. It's saturated with richness of all the colours of the rainbow. And that is very brief. It's an upbeat, actually, to the movement that follows, which is the blues, the lilacs, the purples. So they really come over as one continuous piece of music, an upbeat followed by the downbeat. And we will end with my number three, which would have been my middle, which will end in a blaze of scarlet.
Robin Holloway. Well, it's a very full platform here at the Royal Albert Hall. It's a very full auditorium, actually, as well, for Robin Holloway's fifth concerto for orchestra, as you'd expect. Piano and celeste, a battery of percussion, full brass. And here comes the guest leader of the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, David Adams. And he's followed onto the platform here in the Royal Albert Hall by Donald Ranicles. To conduct his orchestra in the world premiere of Robin Holloway's fifth concerto for orchestra.